This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Derek Chivas, Rolando Ferreira, Joey Devine, Charles Shackelford, Liddell Eccles, Tito Horford, Sean Keane, Derek Hamilton, musical guest Good Charlotte, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, back with another midweek episode of the podcast. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, Joey. How are you doing?
I'm doing A-OK. One exciting basketball game tonight. The other two were not great.
Oh, there were three kind of...
Oh, sorry, the other three. My bad. I totally forgot about the fucking Orlando game.
Oh, yeah. Boy. You know who else did? America.
Before we start talking about basketball, though, we have to do, as always, some business. First off, if you can afford it, please, please, please support our podcast at patreon.com/roundrockpod. A lot of great, we offer a lot of great stuff there, including for $3 a month, a Discord chat that was popping off during these games tonight. Why do I always describe it as popping off? It makes it seem way less good than it actually is. For $5 a month, you get a extra episode of Round Ball Rock every Friday. And for $10 a month, you get buttons and a sticker and the episodes, everything we talked about before. And then for $10 a month, you get a slammed up t-shirt. And then there are higher tiers too, but can find those out at patreon.com/roundrockpod.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun to just even window shop at those top layers.
Yeah. We're getting close to having to give away our first prize for our $10 and up. Patrons, which I'm going to tell you right now, is a Jerry West Clippers bobblehead.
Oh, hell yeah.
Incredibly stupid. He's wearing a suit. Everybody loves Jerry West. and all the work he's done for the Clippers. But if you can't afford to support, that's okay. There are other ways you can help us out. And we are extremely grateful for both. Please rate, review, subscribe, and download the podcast. The downloading is the most important part. I'll tell you what, you don't even have to listen to it. Just download it and delete it. It would still help us out.
Yeah, exactly.
And 5 stars on iTunes, as always, only 5 stars. You can always, we also love hearing from people all the time, and you can do that at Round Rock Pod on Twitter, at roundrockpod@gmail.com, or call us on the phone at 323-682-0342. Did I get through that fast enough this time?
That was really good. That was very efficient. I think it was a good tease for people who might want to just check out the Patreon. Shouted out the Discord, which
we're
it was lit, fam.
We're basically halfway to our goal, by the way, Sean, on Patreon. Our first goal. Our first goal is, of course, for $1,000. We will read and walk you through Recapables style Kobe Bryant's stupid fucking book.
Do they have a rereadables? Could that just be us?
No, it can't be.
They don't
be.
Read books. They don't
no, books but on. There is a segment on the main man's podcast called The Rereadables that he and Ryan Russillo talk about.
Two notable readers and very concerned with seeing male nudity comes up every week from Ryan Russillo. Weird, doesn't like to see balls.
I mean,
who does? No one
some
really.
People, some people, it's their thing. Don't kink shame.
Sorry, you're right.
We're asking people for money, even people who like to see balls.
That's true.
In fact, I want anyone who, balls are cool, whatever. Weird.
Well, that we have an episode title. Balls are cool.
We're not calling this Balls Are Cool.
Come on, we'll get so many.
No. What I will say, though, is again, we haven't said the thing. We'll read Kobe Bryant's stupid YA book for once the Patreon hits $1,000. And I'm going to unleash the new goal right now.
Oh, damn. Okay.
If we hit $1,200, Sean.
$1,200.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much. It's a shorter goal, and this is for reasons you'll know. Sean and I will podcast live from the Bosch walking tour of downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah. All of the memorable locations of the Amazon series Bosch, about to launch its 5th season. I actually had only watched the first 3 seasons of Bosch, and the first sentence of the description of season 5 did spoil it.
Did he die in season 4?
Yeah, this is the 5th one takes place in the spirit world. We are not taking a tour of the spirit world until we get at least to 1350.
All right. Should we talk about the news, or is there anything else we have to do up top here? There is one thing I want to do up top here real quick. Hire Dave Schilling.
Oh, yeah.
He's back in Los Angeles. He's looking for work. I know some media people listen to this. Dave Schilling rules. He's going to be back on the pod here soon. We've talked to him about it. But hire him. Dave rules. He's the best.
Yeah, he's really good. You can read his stuff. You know what? I think there's probably a link to a lot of the good things he's written right there on his Twitter page, @Dave_Schilling.
Yeah. All right, that's it for me. Sean, should we talk news? I'm going to say right now, there's one news story I do not want to talk about.
Let's acknowledge and move quickly past.
But let's talk about the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Our first piece of news is somebody fucking got fired.
Yes.
And weird time to be fired.
You know, you would think if someone was getting fired, it would be a coach of one of the five teams that has left the playoffs in the past 3 days.
Yes. Or a coach in a later news story that we're that I don't want to talk about.
Yeah, that one but was
he
also
should definitely be fired. We'll get to that, I guess. Yep. But Igor Kokoschkov, the Suns coach, was fired. And my number one question is why?
Well, I think the timing or the reason at all?
Both. Like, I understand the Suns were bad.
Mm-hmm.
But having a coach for only 1 year makes no sense to me ever.
No, especially when it was, it was a team that was like, what did they think was going to happen this year? That they were like, let's hire first time NBA head coach and longtime respected assistant Igor Kokoschkov. And then what should we expect? That he takes the 20 win Suns and turns them into a playoff contender?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, he got Devin Booker all those points at the end of the season. Isn't that what the Suns really care about?
Look, he got a lot of great play out of the month and a half he had of Trevor Ariza. The preparation that he did with Tyson Chandler early in the season let him play 9 or 10 very meaningful games for the Los Angeles Lakers. They definitely didn't have a point guard for most of the year.
They traded for Tyler Johnson like he's a point guard.
Yeah, at the point when they were already trying to get the number one pick in the draft.
I can't believe Toothless Tyler couldn't save their season.
Yeah, who they had for 2 months of 2 months of Toothless Tyler. Other people they traded for this year were Kelly Oubre, noted winner. they traded Shaq Harrison away.
Yeah, the only point guard on the roster.
That was a very bold move because he went to a team that also was very light on point guards and managed to play a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
What did they think was going to happen with this coach? Like, I mean, he's lucky, honestly. This is like, I think he'll, I don't know, better to be fired now than in mid-October.
Yeah, the Kings job is probably opening up.
That's true. In a matter of minutes.
At least, okay. Hopefully, do the right thing, Vivek.
Yeah. The timing of this is...
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Remember how Earl Watson said the Suns gave him a 2-week notice?
Yes.
Did they give Igor a 2 weeks a 2 weeks
100%
notice?
100%. That is the reason why it is being announced like this. That he got fired 2 weeks after the end of the season when every other team like announces that last week if you're gone or you're staying. Like who? I just don't think they were watching the playoffs and making up their minds again.
No.
Unless they're like, oh, Dave Yeager, finally, we could...
They should hire Dave Yeager, though.
And I don't know about that. He seems to only have one place he would like to live and work, and that is Minnesota.
Do you think Tibbs would take the Suns' job?
Oh my God! Well, it's a little too hot there, I think, for
he
Tibbs.
Would not like the heat. That is true.
I mean, but it's also very air conditioned, and I think he might have like a similar lifestyle.
Yeah,
to
I don't
a
really
hire
think,
people.
I don't really think of Tibbs as a guy who's like at risk of being sunburned.
No, I feel like he's too disdainful of the sun.
No, he's just inside the whole time on his weight bench in a basement watching film.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like they still got basements in Phoenix.
I mean, they're full of scorpions. Just ask Frankie Muniz, but...
That is true. Oh, my God. What if Thibodeau and Frankie Muniz... He goes... Okay. Here's a scenario. He goes into Tom Thibodeau goes into Outrageous Olive Oils thinking that it's a place that sells like liniment oil for his knee. Mm-hmm. He and Frankie start talking. He talks about Frankie impresses him because he's had 19 concussions and he keeps racing cars, and he and Tibbs become best friends.
That would certainly be an upgrade from Frankie Muniz's other best friend, Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Yes, yes.
But and also kind of a guy in a similar vein in a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, both use a lot of, like, Barbasol in their hair, you know?
And they kind of have, they have a couple of old-fashioned ideas. Also, I do think if Thibodeau, given the way that people in Thibodeau's orbit take care of their bodies or have like their joints react, and the way that Frankie can get injured simply attempting to step onto a motorcycle, I mean, he might just die. You know what I mean? Like, he had that broken toe from the scorpion.
I actually
he threw up when he hurt his knee. Yeah,
he has dreams where he gets vividly shot in the chest every night.
I bet Thibodeau has had similar dreams, but he's getting stabbed in the back by just like an
by Jimmy Butler,
and it's always Jimmy Butler.
Sometimes Gar and John Paxson.
Yeah.
Etou Gar.
By the way, anyone not familiar with Gar Forman, I would highly recommend a Google image search of Gar Forman.
Yeah, last episode it was Pig Champion. This episode it is Gar Forman. Please look at what Gar Forman looks like. If you think you know, you actually don't know.
Because I always think I know, and then it's more than I remembered.
So this is going to be Devin Booker's fifth coach, Sean.
It's super cool. Super cool guy. Super cool situation. Are we possibly being too hard on Devin Booker, given that he is a latchkey kid?
Maybe. He didn't have... Don't make me feel bad for Devin Booker, Sean.
No, please. I hate feeling like this, too. I just realized I was talking about him the same way I used to talk about Alex Smith. And here's how I'm going to damn Devin Booker with faint praise. I think Devin Booker has a shot as being as good an NBA player as quarterback Alex Smith is an NFL player.
Here's the thing. Didn't he hurt his hand riding a bike with no handlebars and Snapchatting it earlier this year?
I think that probably happened.
Didn't he also cover up his face and get into an elevator fight?
I think that was Tyler Ennis. No.
No, it was Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis.
Yeah, I thought that was Tyler Ulis' fault, but maybe you're right.
I mean, it probably, but he still did it, you know?
Yeah, that mysterious hand injury was like right after he signed the contract extension, too. He also apparently trains with like a ping pong sensei.
Yeah, I'm out on Devin Booker, man. Like, the five coaches certainly don't help.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, look at him, dude.
Yeah, no coach has, I guarantee that no coach has told him that he should look like that.
So James Jones is cleaning house. That's what this means. He's finally wrestled control.
He's putting his stamp on the team.
So
despite possibly having hired Igor,
which...
I don't remember what order those hires happened, but
so which...
Oh, no. He inherited Igor. Because remember, they fired Ryan McDonough at weird time, too.
Yeah.
I guess it was like, it had to do with like his pension vesting and his Cobra, I think. Because that's how the Suns do business, in a weird HR nightmare.
Well, I mean, we all know Robert Sarver's so cheap, he squeaks when he walks.
Mm, that's true.
That's what that woman said at a city council meeting when she burned the shit out of him.
Man.
I guess we have to play that now, don't we?
It's your turn, baby. 45 seconds. Let this motherfucker feel it. All right? Yo, DJ, spin that shit.
This is Chicago politics at its worst. And it has a very foul odor. And we are not in the business of funding private enterprise. I don't care what it is. Mr. Sarver has done nothing to improve this team in the 14 years he's owned it. He's so tight, he squeaks when he walks.
So which LeBron James, which person in the LeBron James universe is James Jones going to hire to coach this team?
So the obvious person in the LeBron verse would be Juwan Howard.
Yeah, but I think the Lakers want to hire him, right? I mean, they're at least...
Only if Jason Kidd somehow tanks an interview, if Jason Kidd had a problem saying something intelligible in a public setting. Juwan Howard is probably going to be able to have a better job than the Suns' job. It seems like people like to live in Phoenix in the NBA, though.
Here's who I think they should hire.
Okay.
They're in Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
You know who in the LeBron? There are two guys in the LeBron sphere who to me have extremely Phoenix vibes.
Sean Marion?
No.
Oh, they had that tribute video to him during the finals.
Yeah, remember but that? He's not really a LeBron guy, you know?
No.
There
he's
are
not.
Two. It's Mike Miller and Chris Birdman Anderson.
Oh, man. Mike Miller just seems like he needs to be in like a beach city, needs to be in a place where he can hacky sack with a stranger. He can ride like an ill-advised motor vehicle. That there's kind of a bad tattoo artist near a beach that he thinks is a good tattoo artist.
So you're saying not Phoenix?
Oh, I guess there's no beach. You're right.
Sandy. Yeah,
yeah, he could live in Tempe. He could live in Tempe.
Both of these guys feel very Lake Havasu to me.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to live in a spring break destination, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, somewhere where, like, Eric Nies also has a summer home, you know, from MTV's The Grind.
Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, also in the LeBron orbit?
Yeah, it's got to be a LeBron guy. It's James Jones.
Yeah. I could see like Damon Jones wanting to move there and just figuring that because of the climate,
no soup.
The worst thing he could get, the worst thing he could get thrown at him would be
gazpacho.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the heat. No one eats soup in the desert.
No way.
I bet Danny Ainge still eats soup when he visits Phoenix, though.
Can I give kind of a wild card suggestion?
Sure.
So I think these guys need somewhat of an unconventional coach to just get them going, jumpstart them. And they need more of a commitment to defense. Somebody who provides both of those, Delonte West.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's the only person that is. Yeah, is there anyone else who is further out of the LeBron orbit than Delonte West?
No.
I don't think there is either, yeah.
He's the most out of the LeBron orbit. Ooh, and you know who another good LeBron hire could be? Zildjurnas Ilgauskas.
Yeah.
Big Z, couldn't you see him lumbering up and down those sidelines?
They're like, look, we had a guy named Igor Kokoskov. Let's go even further.
Do you want to talk about Earl Watson's tweet here?
Oh, yeah. He tweeted what with a question and an exclamation point.
Good tweet, Earl Watson.
Really good tweet.
Time for us to talk about a weird thing that we actually, it was my fault. I forgot to talk about Nets Sixers God, I almost forgot the series again on Monday. It was on. Sean put it on the rundown. There was a ton of stuff to talk about. There was a fight. There was this thing we're about to talk about. There was lots of stuff, and for some reason, I just skipped it and forgot to go back.
I'll talk about the thing at the end. Sorry. Go ahead.
So Sean Marks, the GM of the Brooklyn Nets, after game four, stormed into the referee's locker room and screamed at them. And he was fined and suspended. Fined $25,000 and was suspended from going to game five, which means he wasn't there tonight. Congratulations, Sean Marks.
Yeah. He's back in Brooklyn. Fucking J.J. Redick's wife. No, it's just not doing that. Come on. He wouldn't do that.
The Nets owner and the founder of Alibaba, Joe Tsai, got fined $35,000 as well for tweeting, "My partners and I have spoken, and the entire Nets ownership group support our GM, Sean Marks, for protesting the wrong calls and missed calls. NBA rules are rules, and we respect that, but our players and fans expect things to be fair." Which, by the way, tight-ass tweet. Like, even though Sean Marks very clearly insane and wrong to go, like, screaming into the ref's locker room.
I wish I had more details on his invasion, though. You can read about the fines, but it's very unclear what he actually did.
What he was saying.
Oh, Brian Windhorst was so mad.
I mean, I get it, though. Like, you can't have... Look, I hate the refs, too. We all hate the refs. It's part of the game, though.
Yeah.
And you can't have people thinking they can go in there and beat the shit out of the refs, which is what would happen next.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Marks is a lot bigger than those guys. This is not Lawrence Frank invading the refs' locker room, where the refs could just, like, cold cock him or something. Sean Marks is 7 feet tall, and he's from New Zealand, which means he knows Aquaman. I do think that as much as people like to get mad at the refs and feel that the refs are unfair, one useful exercise is to look on Twitter and see what fans of any other basketball team think about the refs. Because it's very rare that you see a fan base that's like, getting all the calls again.
Right.
Great job, officials. It feels like college sports when you do that.
Is this the most out of pocket a GM has been since Brian Colangelo's wife?
Yeah, that's the craziest one. This reminded me of Masai yelling "fuck Brooklyn."
Yeah, where?
But even that is like
"fuck Brooklyn."
That was
tight,
cool.
Though,
that was cool.
I mean, this is kind of cool. Admittedly, I don't like it, but it's pretty cool.
It is. It's like, and I don't. I mean, it's just like a. I understand it's unacceptable, but like, I'm pretty sure it's so calculated is the thing. Like it to me does not feel like a guy who was just flying off the handle. It feels like this is like a baseball manager getting himself thrown out of the game in the fourth inning.
Here's my question though. Do you think the referees even knew he was Sean Marks? Like,
oh, that they're just like, there's a crazy
yeah. Like, do referees even know, like, keep up on who the team's GMs are?
No, but I bet they remember. Sean Marks was just in the league long enough.
Yeah,
that's
for
the only reason. And that, like, I'm sure that at a certain point, especially if you're an NBA ref, you just see somebody above a certain height and you're like, what basketball player is that?
I bet there was some younger ref that wasn't there when Sean Marks was in here and was like, there's a crazy giant Australian man.
Yeah. Crikey, mate.
That's not a fine. This is a fine.
It also seems like not that big a fine.
No. I mean, the Alibaba owner got fined more.
Yeah. Well, and
it's
also
not like a GM loses game checks. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Exactly. Like, that was the weird thing of, like, he suspended one game. Like, he can't go to, like, I don't know. But also, I'm very curious about the limits of that, because you know how Draymond had to be at a baseball game across the parking lot. Like, would Sean Marks be able to drive his truck around the Wachovia Center? I don't remember where the Sixers play. But could he drive his truck around in circles, Billy Bean style?
No way. Have you been to Philadelphia? They just double park in the middle of the street, dude.
Oh, there's no way. Do you think some of the Sixers, like were almost, if they'd known about it, would have just been like tempted to join in out of their own personal and like the honor of Philadelphia almost demands that you fight the officials, even if it's the other team doing it. You know, like, look, we're playing the Nets in our series, but our real rival is refs.
The refs and Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So our next story, Sean.
Yes.
I can't believe we're still talking about this shit.
This is so wonderful.
Magic Johnson still talks to Jeannie Buss, quote, almost every day.
Yes.
Do you want to read these quotes?
Yes. And let me give you the context. Is this apparently was just one of those like TMZ sidewalk interviews.
They're with like, Jeannie or Magic? Johnson. Oh, it's with Magic? Okay.
It's a Magic interview. And he apparently talked to them extensively. Here's a quote. I'm going to read two quotes. Here's the first one. You have to do things sometimes on your own terms. It doesn't matter what other people think, see? And I'm that guy, but I'm still helping them. It's almost like I never left. I'm still talking to them every day. I'm going to help the Lakers get back right. You can believe that. Okay, so Magic is still helping the Lakers.
Great.
And then he said, I love Jeannie. I've been talking to her almost every day. I'm trying to help. Listen, I may not be in there physically, but I'm still there.
Okay.
Now, I think he's talking about the front office and not Jeannie's body.
Yes, but he is talking about the front office.
Okay. So, yeah, Magic Johnson reassured people he was not going to be in the front office physically, which was not happening when he was the president of the team. So,
yeah,
I think we're all pretty clear on he's not there physically.
Yeah, it is really like he never left.
Yeah, it is. It kind of is. That's right.
But keep talking, Magic. I love when Magic talks.
Yeah, dude, yeah. This is the greatest. The greatest is an unshackled shadow team president, Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Still talking to the owner every day and possibly making all the decisions, but
yeah,
now never going to work. And also openly talking to the media about literally anything. And he can't be fined, so
that rules.
So good.
Okay. Should we get to it?
Yes.
Luke Walton is being sued for sexual assault, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So I just first off, I'd just like to say, fuck Luke Walton. But I'm going to read another fact. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
He hired Derrick Rose's attorney to defend him.
Oh, that's not a good sign either, Joey.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear another fact?
Yeah.
He worked for the Warriors at the time.
I hate this story. I am viscerally uncomfortable with Luke Walton, and the Kings should probably not
fire him. Vivek, yeah, fire him.
What would they have to? This is like the easiest firing.
Yeah,
not that there haven't been like other things, but like you hired him a week ago. Just fire him right now.
Yeah.
Send a fucking good message.
And the Warriors have to answer some questions here too.
Yeah, because they apparently knew about it for 5 years.
Apparently they didn't. That's what they claim. The Lakers also claim that they just found out at the same time all of America did. But they got questions to answer. Fuck Luke Walton, fuck Derrick Rose, fuck Derrick Rose's attorney. Avery Bradley. Who am I forgetting, Sean? Fuck Isaiah Thomas, the old one, not the short one.
Oh, James Dolan.
Fuck James Dolan. Mark Cuban. Oh, of course. Possibly Kristaps Porzingis. Fuck Kristaps Porzingis, if that's true.
Kevin Love, I think, probably.
Well, you're just making up people now.
No, I'm not. He was Mark Cuban's alibi.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Anyway, get your shit together, NBA. This isn't right.
Yep.
Let's talk about the playoffs.
Okay. It's the NBA playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Basketball for humans.
We're going to be championship.
Data for robots.
Both teams play hard, my man.
Both teams played hard.
All right, Sean. Should we take some time here to say goodbye to all the teams that have left us in the past few days?
Really, a lot of them have left. It's going to be like Game of Thrones in like 5 days. We had so many people, and we're going to be saying goodbye to some people that we spent a lot of time
with. Yeah, just like Game of Thrones, I guess Utah would be Jon Snow in this situation.
With the feelings towards relationships, or they came back from the dead.
Because we assumed yesterday we were assuming they were dead, and then it turned out they weren't.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. For some reason I was like, I guess you probably can marry your aunt there, and then you can't.
Let's start with Oklahoma City. Yes. First off, I just want to say right off the bat that game fucking ruled. This is the first actually good game of the playoffs, it feels like, right?
I mean, that the game where the Clippers had the comeback was crazy.
But everyone was talking about how boring that game was, even when the Clippers were coming back.
Yeah. This game was really close, and then Oklahoma City took a 15-point lead, I can hardly imagine a more satisfying ending to a basketball game than what happened.
That is an all-time shot from Damian Lillard. Also, first good tweet from Chandler Parsons in the history of anything Chandler Parsons has ever done. He just tweeted, "Happens to the best of us."
Because he got burned 5 years ago.
Yeah, on a similar shot. I looked at them both. While this one was farther away and probably definitely a harder shot, I still think the Parsons one is crazier.
Yeah, because he has so little time. Yeah, this one was more like the other one was like, I don't know. A short amount of time, or really like the play was called for him. Where, you know, it's like it was a great shot, really clutch moment, but also it was, you know, like a set play, mm-hmm. and Chandler Parsons was just a little bit too slow, or, you know, Damian Lillard's awesome. This one, he just dribbled the ball really far from the basket and just shot it because Paul George didn't believe he would shoot it from that far.
Right. It was tight, though. So super happy for Dame. Couldn't be happier for Dame. Happy for Big Corbs. Happy for Mike Burkett. Happy for
Queen Ozymandias.
Queen Ozymandias, of course. Happy for the guy sitting in between Sean Hyken and Eric Garcia Gunderson at the game.
Did those pinchers up guys, they like the Blazers, right? Or did
they're Canadian.
Just like
they do like the Blazers, yeah. Happy for our Canadian friends. Pincers up. So it was sad this happened also on the day that Alan Crabb was eliminated from the playoffs. Don't rub it into those in for those for the our pincers ups for our friends.
And the guy whose wife goes to Weber State.
Yeah. Well, lots of people. Look, we're a Portland. We've got a lot of Portland fam in the house.
Yeah.
Happy for all of them.
Yeah.
Really hope they're playing the Nuggets next series because literally, those games might be like 175-179.
Oh, man. It's, yeah, it'll be, it seems like a really fun, bunch of dudes. The Mason Plumlee has something to prove for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that the Blazer fans just have despised the Denver Nuggets ever since Raymond Felton was traded from Denver. They've just never forgiven that franchise.
So let's talk about the Thunder real quick, though. Russell Westbrook got a triple double, so he doesn't care, right?
Yeah, he's happy.
Is Billy Donovan going to get fired?
You know, you'd kind of think, but also, I don't really feel like it's his fault. Like, is there a coach available who's going to right the ship and turn them into something else? Because they're coming off of
Igor Kokoskov.
Igor. God, that would be incredible. What if he becomes like best friends with Barry Trammell too? And this is like, cool. I just love his style. They start eating breakfast together all the time. But yeah, it's so the Thunder. This is their third consecutive first round exit ever since they had a 3-1 lead on the Warriors in 2016. They have gone 4-15 in the playoffs.
That doesn't seem very good.
It's not very good.
Look, and on the plus side,
mm-hmm.
at least their best player didn't get like heckled by Mitt Romney publicly this time.
Yeah, that's true. What would the Portland equivalent of that be? I think there's probably no one quite as evil. Would it be like Phil Knight?
Aren't there a lot of weird neo-Nazis in Portland, actually?
Oh, yeah, it would be like an anonymous guy, but he's done some terrible things.
Yeah.
but feasible fans, I could see, like, the only equivalent would be, like, maybe Fred Armisen, like, really creeped him out by looking at him weird.
Fred Armisen's not even from there. Weird. No, it's weird fraud. is this the end? Did Portland finally get revenge on Raymond Felton, Sean?
I'm going to say their fans will never forgive
TNT
him.
TNT very, very clearly cut directly to Raymond Felton as everyone was celebrating. It was a really funny shot, actually, because it was so loud and so crazy, the camera was, like, shaking. Uh-huh. So it almost looked like Raymond Felton was in, like, a Jacob's Ladder situation, you know?
Mm-hmm. How did his body composition look, Joey?
Not like Tim Robbins's in Jacob's Ladder.
A little beefier? Was a little
beefier? Like, maybe a little like the star of the other star of Jacob's Ladder, Jason Alexander, maybe just a bit.
Well, they did it at home too. I think Raymond Felton's gonna have to cry himself to sleep, but not until he visits 4 or 5 different food trucks in the Southeast Portland area.
Yeah. Hey, eat well, Raymond Felton. You earned it.
Yeah, man. You might never play another NBA game. He'll be back on the Thunder next year. Don't worry, guys.
So here's another question. What does Oklahoma City do now?
I don't really know, because they're going to be pressured to do something, right?
I would think so.
But they don't really... Well, also, Sam Presti often... I mean, I know people have said that the Thunder used a lot of valuable assets to get Dennis Schroeder and Carmelo Anthony. They didn't. They have been able to get useful players without giving up very much.
Yeah, which is very unlike most NBA teams.
Yeah, like they gave up Victor Oladipo and Sabonis to get Paul George, but
They got Paul George.
Yeah, they got Paul George at the end of that. So that was pretty good.
Paul George, their best player tonight, and probably through the rest of the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I think that's correct. But they, they could use some better 3-point shooting, but also they could use some better Russell Westbrook shooting. That's kind of the crux of everything. And also, like, at one point this year, they had a really amazing, great defense, and that does not appear to be the case right now.
I mean, how much of this was just Paul George being really hurt, though?
I don't know. It seems hurt. It seemed also pretty similar to previous Paul George playoff performances, though.
I thought he was good tonight.
He was good tonight.
Yeah.
He's usually good in some of the playoff games. He has been hurt. People who are smart say he's hurt, and he's wearing, 50 pieces of tape on each shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But, tonight he scored, it's 14 of 20. Was his free throw shooting bad in this series? I mean, I'm sure he was banged up. But also, in the elimination game last year, he shot like 2 of 16.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's only one answer. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Trade Russell Westbrook for John Wall.
Oh, hell yeah. They should give. Okay, so Bradley Beal has to make third team All-NBA to be Supermax eligible, I think. Mm-hmm. So, can you imagine that? He signs the Supermax, and then the Wizards trade John Wall for Russell Westbrook. And so Brad Beal is locked into a Russell Westbrook backcourt for 3 or 4 years. Now, the thing is that the fourth best team in the East? Probably not. Probably not anymore.
Fifth best, though, I think, probably, actually.
But, oh, that would be incredible. I don't know. I mean, I expect Sam Presti to make some kind of crazy trades, but also I think most of these guys are just... I don't really think Paul George is overrated, but probably everyone else on the team is.
You are way more out on Russ than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a humbling for Russ. Here's what Russ needs to do, in my totally uninformed, not good at basketball opinion, so whatever. He needs to have his Dirk in Australia summer.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Like, grow a beard, look in the mirror, and figure out what's going on with you, man. Because, look, triple-doubles are cool, but shooting 30% is less cool.
Yeah, and also, I will have to say, the Thunder talked such a tremendous amount of shit, which honestly mm-hmm. ruled. I want to thank
Well,
them.
let's bring that up.
Oh, yeah.
Damian Lillard, again, guy who's been the best in the playoffs so far, fucking rules, said, Russell Westbrook said he's been busting my ass for years. That wasn't true, for one, and this was the moment of truth. This was the perfect platform and opportunity for him to prove it, and you see what happened.
God damn.
Yeah.
Ah, that's so savage. It's like almost as bad as the shot. He had a different quote where he just talked about all the celebrating that happened after game 3. And he said, and that's what they did after they won one game.
He also waved goodbye to the Thunder bench after hitting the shot. Very cool. Damian Lillard, finally people will be saying what I've been saying for years, which is Damian Lillard is better than Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving, hopefully.
Well, look, at that Blazers-Celtics final, you are going to be able to see which one dominates.
Paul George had a post-game quote where he said, quote, "That's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But hey, he made it. That story won't be told. That it's a bad shot. You live with that."
Here's what I gotta say.
There is a place, though, where that story should be told. Yeah. And that is in a Gatorade commercial that airs right now. Just starts airing right now.
And it's just Paul George saying, "That's a bad shot. That's a bad..." I don't care what anyone says, that's a bad shot. And then at the end of the commercial, Paul George's endorsement contract is lit on fire by a Gatorade representative, but then he raises Dame Lillard's hand up like a champion boxer. But he is right. That story will not be told. People, after Dame Lillard hit a 37-foot three to knock the Thunder out of the playoffs, people are not going to be telling the story of it being a bad shot. Yeah. He is correct.
Like, you know what story no one else tells? That like 45-footer Steph Curry hit to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder.
In a very similar situation where...
I know Paul George wasn't there, but no one says that's a bad shot either.
Yeah, the clock... another situation where the clock had run down, but not all the way to the buzzer, and a supremely confident young three-point shooting point guard associated with the city of Oakland broke Oklahoma City's hearts.
Let's move on though. Or actually, do you want to do this last one? This last question?
I do want to ask these two questions real quickly.
Sure.
Is Paul George secretly relieved that he can hang out with Fish instead of Russell Westbrook for the next 5 months?
No, I still think he's on the Russell. Look, he's a loyal man. No, I think he likes
Russell, but compared to fishing, come on.
He does love fishing.
Loves fishing. Okay, so the last 4 years, the Oklahoma City have blown a 3-1 series lead. They lost 4-1 to the NBA MVP they traded away. They lost to the Take Note All-Stars, led by rookie truther Donovan Mitchell. And then they lost 4-1 to a team whose starting center broke his leg, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't they have to forfeit the franchise back to Seattle?
I mean, they should, but I'm going to have to say no on this one, just because, you can't give them back to the Northwest after a Northwest team. You got to let the Northwest have a summer where they're the Kings. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Yeah. So it should be like right before the season starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I could, that makes a lot of sense. That's the reason I would do that. But it just reminds me of, like, you know, when like Lena Dunham adopts a pet and then like 3 weeks later it's dying of a mysterious disease, they take the pet away. And that feels like what's happening to the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's like they're a pet owned by Lena Dunham and there's very little hope for them.
Sorry, I'm just writing down the title of this episode, which is The Thunder in the Playoffs. Are like when Lena Dunham adopts a pet. All right. All right, let's talk about Brooklyn. Brooklyn was outed today. Bye-bye, Brooklyn. Joe Harris, you got to shoot better, man. Yeah. That to me seemed like almost entirely why Brooklyn lost.
Yeah, they really should have won game four, honestly. especially after Jimmy Butler got thrown out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They didn't do that at all.
So D'Angelo Russell, their all-star, is a free agent this year. He's probably going to get like $25 million a year, right?
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Should the Nets give him that?
I feel like he's the third best
guard,
point guard. Well, I was gonna say even point guard on third best guard on the team. I think LeVert is definitely better than him.
Yes, I agree. And I like Dinwiddie more. I don't think Dinwiddie's better, but I like him more, if that makes sense.
I don't even dislike D'Angelo Russell particularly, but it's just like, it just seemed, I mean, look, they were outmatched in this series against Philadelphia, but yeah, the team just seemed so much better with those other two guys.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and it's just, he's going to get like $25 million a year, right?
Yeah, probably. Seems like a lot, but I don't know. He's really young. He could get better.
I mean, it feels crazy to let that guy go for nothing.
Yeah.
But the other choice is to give him like $110 million,
mm-hmm,
which also seems, I mean, they're going to keep him. I think there's very little chance that they let him go, but I think I would think about it hard.
Sean, do you want to ask me this next question? Because this is clearly for me.
This is for you. Joey, was Jared Allen's Karate Kid headband to blame for this gentleman's sweep?
No, but Damari Carroll's was.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Now, do you think that Jared Allen wearing the Karate Kid headband made Joel Embiid treat him like he was in Cobra Kai? You know what I mean? Like
no,
he was committing a lot of fouls that could get him disqualified.
No, because to me, Embiid's the one who was acting like he was in Cobra Kai.
No, that's what I mean.
Sorry.
I phrased that.
Got it. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. I do think it is what led to TJ McConnell audibly yelling, "Get him a body bag," at one point during tonight's game, but that's the only one I can confirm.
It does seem like, although The Karate Kid has an inspiring ending, those movies are mostly about getting hellaciously bullied and beat up, which is probably a more realistic view of karate than all of my peers who signed up for karate after seeing the movie.
To me, that movie is about a kid who goes as a shower for Halloween.
Such an unexplained, like at that point, you watch it and it's like, man, he is spending a lot of time on karate when he's clearly an artistic genius. if Mr. Miyagi was a better leader, he would have been like, Daniel, it gets better. Focus on trimming this bonsai tree. This is where your aptitude is. You're Italian. You're also 30 years old and you're in high school. Go to art school, Daniel.
Let's talk about Jared Dudley. Yes. JMZ himself. Mm-hmm. Has any mediocre player in the history of the playoffs ever been as prominent in a series than Jared Dudley?
I was thinking about it because it reminded me of when Deshaun Stevenson and LeBron were.
He's my answer too. Because he feuded with him over two different teams over several years.
Yes, and he Soulja Boy jumped in, mm-hmm, on his side while Jay-Z was defending LeBron.
Yeah.
And also, should be noted, Deshaun Stevenson did win an NBA title first.
Also, again, had an ATM in his kitchen. Super, mm-hmm, tight.
And I believe it was his personal tattoo artist who put the Larry O'Brien's trophy on Jason Terry's, mm-hmm, arm before the season.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So great. Good work, Jared Dudley. And I'm going to guess goodbye. I can't imagine he's in the league next year, right?
Really? I thought he was
very old.
I think he could just keep doing, like, what is his body going to break down?
I mean, he's 33.
How old is he?
He's 33.
So
he's a free agent, I believe.
I bet he comes back.
All right. Okay.
Isn't he podcasting somewhere, right?
That sounds right to me. I don't know. I only keep up with NBA podcasts by journalists that I make fun of, not and analytics people, not the player ones. Although I do listen to JJ Redick's Movement Watches ads, of course. I don't think he has a podcast. If he had a podcast, we would have made a joke about this being the podcast bowl.
Yeah, you're right, because he just goes on a lot of podcasts. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited to see what happens to Brooklyn this summer. Don't sign Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, don't.
Just don't do that.
You're going to think it's a good idea, but remember how you have those guys who are good at handling the ball, the thing that Jimmy Butler needs to do all the time? Yeah. Also, he's going to stay in Philly.
All right, the Orlando Magic.
All right. My first question was, do we care at all about this team, even one single bit? And I mean,
I guess I care a little bit about Steve Clifford.
Yeah, I like him. But I kind of like inherently want bad things for the franchise, but I don't. That's not fair.
Yeah, it's not their fault. They're owned by DeVos.
Yeah. Okay, Joey, here are some questions. Did putting Richard DeVos's initials on the court doom the Orlando Magic?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
don't do that.
Don't put a swastika on the court either. Like, these are symbols of evil. Okay.
I kind of care about Jonathan Isaac.
I
feel so bad that they didn't go to his church that one time. Yeah.
That's terrible.
I mean, I wouldn't have gone to his church either.
I wouldn't have wanted to go, but I would have gone. You can't go once. You have to join. Now watch. We're going to find out that it was like a 3.5-hour sermon.
Or it was like one of those real creepy churches, you know?
I think I know what you're talking about. Well, yeah, one that would be like, our new preacher is 20 years old. He is 6'11". He went to 2 years of college, and he's going to tell you, well, what he learned about Jesus Christ in the world of AAU basketball. He's probably not a good preacher.
Will Nick Vucevic leave?
I think he probably will.
But to where?
I mean, I don't know.
Aren't the Magic just going to pay him the most? He's like their franchise player.
Well, I mean, he was definitely the only All-Star this year. But it just seems
he could break every record.
he almost
just by staying like 3 more years.
Yeah, I mean, he could have like the. Didn't we find out he was like 8th in assists?
Yeah, they'll have to retire his jersey if he stays 3 more years, dude.
I definitely want him to stay so bad now. So what if he blocks Mo Bamba and kind of Jonathan Isaac, too?
And sort of Aaron Gordon.
Sort of Aaron Gordon. Future center Aaron Gordon. Man, what a... But... Look, the Magic should be proud of their season, and DJ Augustin should be proud. Like, it's the Raptors are a very good team.
This is the team that should trade for Russell Westbrook.
Orlando? Well, yeah, they still kind of need a. Well, what if they keep DJ Augustin as the starter and Westbrook? It's like an apprenticeship between him and Evan Fournier.
Fultz and Aaron Gordon, do it, Presti.
Does Evan Fournier still have like 5 years left on his contract?
I think he's got one more.
Okay. Still seems like they should be able to attract free agents.
Here's a question. What happens first? The Orlando Magic win another playoff game or Betsy DeVos resigns in disgrace?
Ooh.
I think she's going to resign in disgrace. And I'm not saying she'll necessarily be kicked out of office, but the odds of Trump being reelected and she would just have to resign her position on Inauguration Day 2021. I think it is more likely that she will.
I believe in Steve.
They'll win one playoff game.
Steve Clifford is going to get them. Dude, he kept getting the Charlotte back to the in the playoffs. Like, he can do this with the Magic. And she has no fucking shame. She's not going to resign.
Oh, she won't. It'll be. Yeah, everything she does is in disgrace.
Yeah. But
you're right. Joey, was Orlando's pyramid defense to blame for this loss, where instead of just playing a conventional scheme, each defender had to recruit three more defenders to stop Kawhi Leonard?
You know what? No. What was to blame is just not having enough talent, even though they've had a million first round draft picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's turning Elfrid Payton, Victor Oladipo, and Mario Hezonja into just Terrence Ross, I believe.
You also forget that they turned Dario Saric into Elfrid Payton.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
On draft day. Don't you think Dario Saric and Vucevic would be pretty tight?
I mean, it would be. I'm just not sure this team is like, man, where are we going to find a tweener forward?
Fair
point. Not strong enough for power forward, not fast enough for small forward, kind of okay at shooting threes sometimes.
But yeah, what if Fultz comes back amazing? That would rule,
that,
dude.
That would get me on board again.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about our man. Blakey.
Oh, can I give you a Markel Fultz comeback scenario, though, real quick?
Sure.
He's at Orlando. He's working out. Doesn't have any surgery for his procedure because it's definitely real, but you just have to rehab it. But he starts hanging out at Disney World all the time. He's going on Space Mountain all the time. Mm-hmm. And one day he gets so excited that he throws his hands up in the air. You know, to make the roller coaster more exciting. He doesn't feel any pain in his shoulder anymore. And his shot comes back.
That would be one way. Another way is maybe they just rehab it because it was injured. Remember?
Yeah.
It turned out it was not his brain that was broken, but actually a part of his body.
It just feels like he has not done the things that you normally do when you're diagnosed with thoracic
Fair
outlet
point.
Syndrome.
Fair
but,
point.
But maybe he has. Maybe he has. You know what? I'm not trying to commit a HIPAA violation here, so.
Let's talk about the Pistons.
Yeah.
Sopan Deb of the New York Times tweeted that Andre Drummond is a surefire Hall of Famer.
Comedian/sports writer Sopan Deb.
Is this true?
Absolutely not.
No fucking way.
There's no way that. Like, has he looked at people who have led the league in rebound? Like, some of them. But no one's like, Jesus, we have got to get Michael Cage into the basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, he is very young. He could play, you know, a not that productive brand of basketball for years to come.
Mm-hmm. They're going to trade him, right?
I would think they would try to do that. I mean, he still will be turning 26 this
he's
summer.
He's good. Yeah.
I'm not even trying to, I don't know why I was.
He hits free throws now.
Yeah, he gets lots of rebounds. He definitely does something. It seems like his defense is maybe not that great, but, you know, it seems like it's better to have him than not have him.
I just don't necessarily think you want to have him and Blake.
Yeah, because he seems very similar to someone who has not been a productive partner to Blake Griffin in the past.
Yeah, with like less fart jokes, but only slightly.
And isn't Blake Griffin's destiny, you know, a year or two from now going to be a super undersized center anyway?
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. They could probably get something for Drummond.
I mean, imagine if they could have had any of the, like, if you could pair Blake with any of those weird Orlando Magic forwards that are
that
basically
would be tight, actually,
centers that move around but play four, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And actually, Blake Griffin would go to Jonathan Isaac's Sermon as long as he could get a tight five in.
Yeah, he'd heckle. He'd heckle it for sure. Yeah.
I think he'd open for him.
Yeah, he'd go up and he'd be like, "Hey, I have some notes for you afterwards."
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want a tag for your homily?
A tag for you, okay? So you get the burning bush there, and I'm like, "The burning bush? Do you date Paris Hilton?" He's like, "I got that. I heard that joke at the store."
I do want to say real quick though, this year was a win for the Pistons for sure.
Yeah,
so. Blake Griffin was great, and most importantly, they swept. Dwayne Casey got to sweep the Raptors, which cost the Raptors home court advantage.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's some sweet revenge.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think Dwayne Casey wins as long as the Raptors don't make the NBA Finals. Because if they just lose the conference finals, like, that's... Dwayne Casey's done that, right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I love Dwayne Casey. Dwayne Casey, Steve Clifford, these are coaches I like.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey seems like the best. The coolest damn guy, too. Yeah. So, what a life.
And then finally... We talked about this.
We kind of talked about Indiana already. I just wanted to make sure that we listed them.
The Indiana Pacers, goodbye. Victor Oladipo, why were you only there for game four? I know we talked about this already. It's still mind-boggling to me.
Baffling. Where was
he? Did you watch game three?
Did he watch the game at all?
And Thaddeus Young, I hope you find a good home.
Yeah, that's all we really want. Someone who will appreciate him for once.
Mm-hmm. Sean.
Yes.
What would you like to plug?
I'm going to have a Jason Kidd article coming out and then a guide to the second round of the playoffs, which will probably run when the second round of the playoffs starts. But we will not know who's playing for a couple more days. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all.
Great. As for me, please, please, please check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/roundrockpod. Download the Slammed Up album if you haven't. At roundballrock.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Twitter at roundrockpod. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Call us on the phone at the number I said at the top of the show. I'm not going to say it again. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on June 29th, 2012, I tweeted, "Just got stung by a scorpion. Never felt pain like this. Leg numb, vision blurry. I think I'm dying."
He didn't die.
Tweet
a
follow up
though. Yeah. That was like, "I'm fine, guys."
Sean, did you write a Luka Doncic song?
Joey, this may shock you, but I did.
I knew it. Grantland Jr. Blah blah blah. What's the song?
It is a Bob Seger song this time, and it is called Old Time Pick and Roll.
Instead of saying trust the process and shut it down, let's go home right now, I'm just going to read one more Frankie Muniz tweet. On June 30th, 2012, I tweeted, "Dreams after a scorpion sting are crazy. Now I'm up and driving to the airport."
No! Your mom is going to be vacuuming.
shut it down. Dreams after a scorpion sting are crazy.
Just take those game tapes to scout with Brian. I'd rather tank the year and pray for Zion. Luka Doncic works too hard for field goals without that old-time pick and roll. Don't try to take me to a Rockets game. James Harden dribbling is totally lame. Tillman Fertitta ain't got a human soul. I like that old-time pick and roll. Still like that old-time pick and roll. Malone and Stockton going to the hole. Rick Carlisle's offense often makes me low. At the deep like a pick and roll. Don't want a big like what Howard. He wants to post up like a farting black hole. The only way Ben Simmons isn't a coward when he's running a pick and roll. Don't want to flop to get a foul call when Lucas shoots and he can handle the ball. Steph Curry has the vision of a mole. Steve Kerr won't call for a pick and roll. Still like that old time pick and roll. Rewards good shooters like the grassy knoll. I fight through screens like fools fought by Dave Grohl when defending the pick and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, on saxophone, Dorian Finney-Smith. Still like that old-time pick and roll. Marcin Gortat is our greatest pole. Triangle offense is like smoking a bowl. Not like old-time pick and roll. Still like that old-time pick and roll. The specialty of Pau and Marc Gasol. I bet it even works with Manu Bowl. And that old-time pick and roll. Still like that old-time pick and roll. It's antiquated like burning coal. Coaches who don't run it go on the dole. Keep running old-time pick and roll. Still like that old-time pick and roll. Don't put the offense on cruise control.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.